be generous. He wants us to be able to live a story, live a life worth telling. And that is the series that we're in right now, My Story. Because we know this, that these small little things that happen in our life, they can make a major impact. And every single day we have these small little things that come available to us. And those small decisions, and this is our theme really of what we're doing through this, the decisions that we make today will determine the stories that we tell tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But those small little things that come at us every single day, they really will compile and they make a big impact on what our story is going to be tomorrow. You know, and it's one of those things that leads us to the big question, well, then how do I live a life? How do I live a life? How do I live a story worth telling? And that brings us to our theme verse that we have throughout this entire series. And I think it's something that is so huge for us. It's Hebrews 12:2, and it says this. It says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, is that when we have the opportunity to be able to say, what is my story? What do I want it to look like? I believe that if we allow Jesus to be the author, that we let Jesus write our story and live accordingly and live the way that he wants us to, then we're going to be able to tell and we're going to be able to live a story worth telling. And so through this, we've really been going through some practical things, practical questions that we can ask ourselves to live a story worth telling. And last week we started with starting. We had to ask the question to start, the principle to start a discipline in our life to allow us to tell the story we're telling. And how many of you here that were here last week that you can raise your hand and you can say, you know what, I made a commitment last week to be able to start a discipline. Anybody else? Man, there's a couple of hands. That's awesome that you were able to do that. And this morning we're going to be able to talk about the decision to stop, because sometimes there are behaviors in our life that hinder us from living the story worth telling. Next week, we're going to be talking about staying, that we need to be able to stay in a situation, make the decision to stay when it's so much easier to leave. And I believe that that's something that we struggle with in this culture, that we want to find the easy way out, that we leave a relationship, we leave a job, we leave a situation when God really wants us to be able to stay and figure it out. And then the last week, we're going to be talking about the decision to go. Is that there's something that God has put inside of you. There's a calling that he's put inside of you. And it's been such a fear factor for you that you haven't been able to take that step and make that decision to go and fulfill the ministry that he has for you. But today we're going to be landing in the place and the decision to stop. And I got to tell you that this right here, the behavior that we do, this one really played out in my life just this past week. The decision to stop. For me, you know, I've got two boys. You guys hear me talk about them, and I just love them. They're so awesome. And I've got my oldest one, 7 years old, Jude, and he's in first grade. And he, whenever I ask him after school, I've got to ask him a question to really get something out of him. Because if I just said, hey, how was school today? Man, what do you think his response would be?
Fine. Just leave me alone. Let me go play Pokemon. You know, that's what it is.
So I've got to be able to ask these questions to kind of get something out of them. And there's really two basic questions that I ask. And the first one is this. Tell me, what was the most annoying thing that happened at school today? And man, I got to tell you, he's always got an answer for that one. There's something that annoys him at school every single day. And then the other question that I ask him is, okay, so what was the most amazing thing that happened at school today? And a lot of times he doesn't have an answer for that one, but just on Friday, just this Friday, he had an answer for it. And he was like, oh, he's like, me and all my friends, we were singing this song and having fun at recess, and it was just a blast. And so naturally I'm like, well, what song was it? And he's like, it's the Whippin' Nay Nay song. And has anybody heard the Whippin' Nay Nay song? I had never heard of Whippin' Nay Nay before, you know, and so I'm like, what is Whippin' Nay Nay? So, you know, like, Siri, what is the Whippin' Nay Nay song? And sure enough, it comes up with this thing, and so I'm watching this video, and so it's this dance move, you know, it's this dance move. So I was like, Jude, hey, why don't you show me your moves? Let me tell you something, people. My 7-year-old got his dance moves from his mom, all right? Because they were not that pretty. I'm just going to call it out right now. I was like, this boy needs some rhythm in his life, man. And so I was like, Jude, come on, man. And so we played the little Whip and Nay Nay song. And so I'm like, hey, this is how it's done. I was like, you got to watch me whip and watch me nay-nay, and watch me whip, and watch me nay-nay. And then all of a sudden I look, and this is my wife. Looking at me like, what are you doing? You know? And then I realized something. No 40-year-old man should ever whip and nay-nay like I just did right there.
Right, right.
I had to make the decision to stop immediately for the good of my family, and also because I'm a grown man who should not be doing a whip and nay-nay around anywhere, right?
No.
There are so many times in our life that we need to be able to stop what we are doing. Maybe there's behaviors that we've had in our life, and they might have been for a time, but they really don't carry over for the story that we want to tell. Mm-hmm. They don't carry over to the story that God wants us to be able to tell for our life, and we've got to be able to make a decision to stop. Just stop it. And so today, that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about that decision to stop. And so if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Exodus 18. And you're going to see a story in Exodus 18, or if you've got your mobile device, go to YouVersion. It's an app that we love, and you can click on the live events right there, and you can follow all the notes right there on your mobile device. And we're going to look at a story of Moses. And Moses was in this position where he had just led the Israelites out of captivity of Egypt, and he's going on the long way around to get to the promised land. And he's sitting there with the Israelites, and his father-in-law, Jethro, comes to him. And he sees what's happening every single day with Moses. And this is what daily life looked like for Moses, is that Moses would sit there, and then all of the people who had any kind of complaints, they would come and they would bring them in front of Moses. And then Moses would say, hey, look, this is what my ruling is. He was basically judging over what was happening in each of their lives. And Jethro sit there, and he was watching this, and we're going to pick this story up in Exodus chapter 18, verse 14, and it says this: when his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, what is this that you're doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning until evening? And Moses is sitting there like, okay, that's just an honest question, no big deal. So he just responded. And he says this, in 15 through 16, Moses answered, well, because the people come to me to seek God's will, and whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions. And so he just basically says, hey, this is what it is. And what you're going to see here really quickly is that Jethro is going to respond in a way that every single person who is sitting in here, who's overworked, who is stressed out, who might be a single mom without a moment to spare, and you just wish that your kids could be quiet for a second, you're going to see a response that every single student who's sitting there with the weight of a semester starting to come on them is feeling right now. And this is how Jethro responds. He says, Moses' father-in-law replied, what you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. What you are doing is not good. Now, here's the reality, is that most of you sitting in this room, as soon as I said that there are behaviors in your life that you need to be able to stop, I didn't even have to say anything. I didn't even have to mention what behavior it was that immediately it came to your mind, because you know the stuff. You know the stuff that's happening. You know the stuff that's going on in your daily life that is causing you to be able to not to tell the story that God wants you to be able to tell. And here's what I want you to know. What you are doing is not good. What you're doing is not good. Now, you might be sitting here thinking, daggum, Pastor Darren. I thought this was a church that was full of grace and love, and you're absolutely right. And this is a church that is founded on the grace and mercy of Jesus.
Yes.
This is a church that wants to express the love of God to every single person that ever comes through these doors, or even to the people who never come through these doors. These are attributes that will describe Focus 314. But the reality is this: there's nothing more grace-filled than telling you about the dangers that lie ahead. There's nothing more loving than somebody to be able to tell you what you're doing is not good. I can't think of an action more grace-filled than for a parent to stop their child from playing in a very busy street. I can't think of something that would be more loving than to be able to stop a friend from drinking and driving on a consistent basis. To be able to take the moment to point out the danger and to be able to stop your child from running into a street where cars are zooming by all over the place. To have the love of a friend to be able to take the keys away and not allow you to be able to drive and endanger yourself and endanger those around you. I can't think of a moment that is going to be more grace-filled and loving than this moment right now to be able to talk about the dangers of the choices that we make every single day. Now, I want you to know this, is that I'm not going to be a person who's going to point the finger at you right now and say, tell me what you're doing. And condemnation is coming your way, because that's not my job. The job that we're talking about right now is not to condemn you. That's the job of Satan. That's the job of the enemy, to make you feel like you are less of a person. And that's not the case. You are a child of God. You are an amazing individual. But it's also the job of the Holy Spirit to convict you, right, to become better than what you, right, are, right, so that you can tell the story that God wants you to be able to tell. It's more loving for you to know the danger, because God knows this. God knows your past, but he loves you enough to not leave you in your past, but to bring you into an amazing future. He cares more about your future than he does about your past. Amen. And we don't want to leave you there either. And there's something inside of your life that is hitting you that you've got to be able to stop. Because what you're doing is not good. I don't even have to say what it is. You're already telling yourself right now. Don't rationalize it away like so many of us do. It's not that bad. It's not that big of a deal. It's not hurting anybody else. You're trying to rationalize it away. But allow the Holy Spirit to convict you. Allow him to challenge you, because he wants you to become the person that he created you to be. Jethro, he says this to Moses. He says, listen to me now and I will give you some advice. I love that. Jethro loved his son-in-law enough that he said, hey, listen to me. I want to be able to give you some advice. And then I love this. And may God be with you. That's a prayer that we have. And I want you to know that through this message, as we're going through this, and you're going to start to feel a conviction about some of the behaviors that you've been choosing, and you need to be able to realize, you know what, I need to stop. Today is a day that I can make a decision to stop. Here's my prayer. May God be with you today. May God be with you to help you not feel condemnation, not to feel like you're a bad person. May God be with you to give you strength to be able to make a decision that I need to be able to stop. Turn around and never do the whip and nay-nay again. That's what we need to be able to do for all of our lives. Need a little bit of laugh right there. Harsh here. Through this series, I asked you guys a couple of questions last week, and I want to be able to ask those questions again. And that very first question that I want to be able to ask is this. What does God want you to want? What is the story that you want to be able to tell? What does God want you to want? Maybe for you, it's saying, you know what, we've been in a financial mess, but I know that God wants us to be able to work this out and to be able to get through this thing so that we can tell a story that we were drowning in debt, but 5 years from now, we were debt-free because we changed the way that we were living and we began to follow the principles of God. And man, what does God want you to want? Maybe for some of you that you're sitting in a place where you're like, man, our relationship, our marriage is just in such a horrible place and we're at the end of our rope, but all of a sudden we begin to take the game plan that God gave us and we put it into action into our marriage and into our relationships and now we get to be able to help other couples get through their stuff. What is it that God wants you to want? And in light of that question, as you write that down, the question that needs to come up is this. What do you need to stop? What do you need to stop? What is keeping you from telling the story that God wants you to be able to tell? What is it that is stopping you? What behavior is there that is keeping you from having that story? That you look around at other people and you hear these amazing stories and you're like, wow, I wish that could be me. And it can be you. But there's something that is stopping you from getting there. So often it's our own behaviors. It's the own things. It's our own things that we keep doing on a consistent basis. We haven't stopped. What are some of those hurts that you have? What are some of those hang-ups, those habits that we've put inside of ourselves that we've done for years and years and years? And we're saying, we need to stop it. Today is a day to make that decision to stop. And when you're asking yourself this question, I really want to ask you to be able to think of it in two different ways. Two different ways of things that you need to be able to stop. One is external and one is internal. And one is external that you think, man, these are behaviors that I'm doing that I really need to be able to stop. For some of you, you might be thinking, you know what, I really need to be able to stop flipping people off when I'm driving around. You know, because especially if you've got a Focus 314 sticker in your back window, all right? You know, because you're like, ah, they make me so angry, but it doesn't share the love of God at all, does it? You know? And some of you, there's external things that are going on inside of you. But then for others that you're sitting here and you might be like, oh, you know what, I've got all that stuff taken care of. I've got it all figured out. I'm all right. But in reality, there's all this internal stuff that's happening, right? You got bad attitude that you carry around for a long time. You've got some pain and some bitterness that you're holding against people that have wronged you. You've got some critical spirit that is happening that you say, you know what? I know how things should be. And nobody else has it figured out. And when they do things opposite the way that I like them to be done, they're wrong. And I'm going to let them know about it. And here's the thing is that I believe this. I believe that all of those internal things that are happening, those are more dangerous than the external. Mm. Because we get to point out the external. You know, we can see the way that somebody's living. We're like, oh, they're a horrible person. I can't believe that they would be able to do that. But the internal stuff. The internal stuff is something that nobody ever talks about. Nobody can challenge you on. Nobody can come to you and say, hey, you know what? That anger that you're feeling towards that person, it's a bitter root and it's killing you. It's killing your relationship with everybody else around you and it's killing the relationship that you have with God. And those internal things are much more dangerous than all the external stuff. What is it that you need to stop today? What are some of those behaviors that are holding you back from telling the story that God wants you to tell? You know, I'm going to be completely transparent with you. I'm going to be completely honest with you, and I'm going to share a little bit of where I've come from. Before I recommitted my life to Christ and I was living a life that I wanted, and I was going down a path that I knew was not going to lead me to a good place. When I recommitted my life to Christ, I had a lot of things that I needed to stop. And I'll tell you, this is a couple of them. And there are a whole lot more, but this is a couple of them. The first one for me, it was my mouth. Man, I say that, maybe you've heard me say this before. They say, cussing like a sailor, they've got nothing on Marines, you know? And man, I knew how to be able to cuss with the best of them. And it wasn't glorifying God, and it wasn't glorifying myself at all. And I had to stop the way that I was talking. I had to be able to stop tearing people down and instead lift people up. And I had to change the way that I spoke. I had to stop it. Another one for me was I had to be able to stop drinking. And I gotta tell you this, you know, like, I love to drink. I really do. Like, having a Corona on a hot day, that's amazing. It really is, you know? Or having a cocktail before dinner, like, that was my life. I loved it. But I also knew how to abuse it like crazy. I really did. And I just had to say, you know what? For me to be able to live the life that God wants me to live, for me to be able to tell the story that God wants me to be able to tell, I have to completely abstain from alcohol. I had to walk away from it. And I enjoyed it. And in Scripture, it doesn't even say that drinking itself is wrong. Now, drunkenness, there's no doubt about it, is there. But it doesn't say it's wrong. But for me, I could not tell the story that God wanted me to tell with a beer in my hand. I had to stop drinking. That one took a little bit more time than my mouth did. And now the last one I'm going to tell you about, that one took a lot of work. For me, I had to be able to stop my addiction to pornography. See, when I went into the Marine Corps, the very first place that they put me, the barracks that I was assigned to after boot camp, it was known as the porn room. I didn't know, but it was the porn room, and I walked in, and there was pornography on the TV, and it was running 24 hours a day. And anybody who wanted to be able to watch pornography, they went into that room. And I'll tell you something, that'll mess with your head. That'll mess with you in ways that you have no idea. And it was something for me that was a big struggle. And I couldn't be able to stop it on my own. I had to be able to have help from friends. I had to have people that would talk to me. I had to have mentors that would come and talk to me and challenge me and help me along the way. And I had to have a lot of help to be able to get over that addiction. It wasn't something that happened instantaneously in my life, but I had to stop it. I had to stop it. To be able to tell the story that God wanted me to tell, I had to be able to stop that behavior. It wasn't something that happened overnight. It was a process for me. But I know that there were people that loved me and cared about me enough to be able to call me on the carpet. And I can be able to stand here today and be able to say, those individuals, they helped save my life. They helped save my marriage and make sure that I can tell the story that God wants me to be able to tell. And they still stand with me today to be able to say, hey, how's it going? How is your thought life? What have you been watching? What are all these kind of things? Because they're there to help. And I want to tell you something, that you're sitting in this place right now and you're saying, you know what? I've tried to stop these behaviors before. I've tried to stop. You know, I've heard this message once before and I've tried to stop, but I just can't do it. I don't know how to do it. Let me tell you something. We as a church, we want to be here to help you. We want to help you get past all those habits, your hurts, your hangups, all of those kind of things that are sitting there. We know what it's like. I know what it's like to be able to walk through those things. I've walked down that path before. We want to help you. In fact, we have right here, Pastor James, you want to be able to stand up? Renee, you want to be able to stand up? We've got an individual here. This is Pastor James and Renee, and they are discipleship and recovery pastors. They know what it's like to be able to walk down that path and to be able to help stop. Yeah. Even when you've tried before, they are here, they know that path. And we're not here to condemn, we're not here to judge you, we're just here to help you.
Freedom.
That's what we want to be able to do. Yeah. And so if there's something going on in your life today, I don't want to just send you a message and then you just walk out of here feeling like a pile of garbage. No, I want you to know that we have individuals here as a church. We want to help walk you through this process. Thank you, guys.
Amen.
Here's what I want you to be able to do for just a second. Take that habit that you're thinking of, the behavior that you're thinking of, I'm not even calling it out, but you take that and put it inside of your mind, and I want to go through something for you. And this is going to be a little bit dramatic, but I just want you to be able to see what could go on. Play the story out. This is something that I do, man. When I have a behavior, when I'm thinking about something, I'm like, how is this conversation going to go? Okay, and then I think about how it's going to play out. And different alternatives and all that kind of stuff. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to play that behavior out. Maybe for some of you right now, it's been your body that you've ignored for way too long. And I want you to just play out this story. Keep overeating. Keep eating all of the junk food that you want. Keep being addicted to any kind of chemical that you want. Keep putting stuff inside of your body. Ignore your body. Play it out. Where does this story go? For some of you, you might not be able to walk your daughter down the aisle because you've died of a heart attack at age 45. You can't be able to do all the things that you want to because you're dealing with type 2 diabetes because you've ignored your body for way too long. Or maybe you've got past that, but for the last 20 years of your life, you're going to be dealing with chronic physical problems all the time. Keep playing out the story. What is it going to look like? Ignore your body, and what is it going to look like? Your story. Play out the story. Play it out. Why don't you go ahead and just keep neglecting your kids? Keep being consumed with what's going on inside of your time and in your life, your work, your success, everything that you want to do. Play the story out. What is that going to look like if you neglect your kids, that you don't take a moment to be able to play with them? Man, all of a sudden, you're not going to be able to watch them play their games. You're not going to be at their wedding because they don't care if you're there or not. Because it showed that you didn't care about them when they were younger. Keep neglecting your kids. Go ahead and keep overspending. Play that story out. How is that going to look if you keep overspending and you're spending more than what you're bringing in? And you're going to have to tell your kids one day, you know what, this sport that you love, I'm sorry, we can't have you play on this club team anymore because we just can't afford it. Because we're mortgaged up to our eyeballs. Or I'm sorry, you can't go to this school anymore because we just lost our house and we have to go live in a different neighborhood and we've lost all of your friends. Play the story out. What does it look like? Go ahead and keep overspending. You know what? Go ahead. Keep nagging your husband. Go ahead. Play that story out because you know what? He's a horrible person anyway. And it's your spiritual gift. So go ahead. Keep nagging him. Right? What's that going to look like? He's going to feel like garbage and he's going to feel horrible every single time he steps inside of the house. Go ahead. Keep nagging him. Play the story out. How's that going to look? Go ahead. Keep looking at pornography. Go ahead and keep doing it because you haven't been caught yet. It's not hurting anybody else, right? But play the story out, and what is it going to look like? All of a sudden, one day, looking at it, it's not going to be enough, and you have to act out on it. But you're going to try to act out on it, but you can't because you have erectile dysfunction, because you can't do anything because you've looked at pornography for so long. Or maybe it hasn't gone that far, but then all of a sudden, your spouse sees it one time. And they're going to look at you with broken heart, and they're going to be able to say, wasn't I enough for you? Go ahead and play the story out. What do you need to stop today? God wants you to tell the story that he wants for you. But there's something inside of us that keeps us away from it. What do you need to stop today? You know, the good news is that Jethro, he listened to, or that Moses listened to Jethro. And it worked out really well for him. But there's another individual, a story that we want to be able to look at in Matthew. This individual, it didn't work out so well. This is a story of a rich young ruler. Matthew 19, 16 through 22, it said that just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" he required. Jesus replied, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and your mother. And love your neighbor as yourself." "All of these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack? What is it that I need to be able to stop doing?" And Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me." Unfortunately, this young man, he couldn't stop. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. He couldn't continue on. He couldn't stop what he was doing. And the disciples were sitting there looking at each other and they were like, "Man, this is a guy who has it all together. It seems like everything that he's doing well. He's rich. He's doing all of the commandments. He's following all of that kind of stuff. If he can't be perfect, who can? Who can?" And this is where grace comes in. This is what I want you to know, is that this message isn't about you becoming perfect. Jesus isn't just asking you to become perfect. He's asking you to follow him. And you're saying, "Yeah, I've tried that. I've tried over and over again. I've tried to stop these behaviors, but I can't do it." Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." Amen. Behaviors that you've had, and these hurts and these hang-ups, all these habits that you've been carrying around that you feel like I can't stop them. Here's what I want you to be able to know. When you come and you lay them down at the feet of the cross, when you give them up to Jesus, when you say, you know what, I can't handle this anymore. This weight and this burden is too much for me. I can't do this anymore. You don't have to. You get to give it to Jesus, and with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
What is the story that God wants you to tell? What's the behavior that has kept you from telling that story? Can you give that to Jesus today? And realize that the story that you want to be able to tell, that you know God wants you to tell, that with Him, it's possible. All things are possible with God. I want you to be able to take your top notes that you got when you're walking in. It's a question that we asked. Big takeaway at the very bottom of that. I haven't called out anybody in here. You're feeling conviction from the Holy Spirit. You've got a thought in your mind of what that behavior is. And the question that I want to be able to ask you today, are you ready to stop? Are you ready to stop it today? And if your answer is yes, I want you to be able to write, I am. I am. I'm ready. I might not feel like I am. I not feel like that I am in a place that I can do it. But I know that that's because I'm trying to hold it back. That I'm the one who's sitting there looking back and thinking back to all the times that I've tried to stop before. God, I desperately want to stop. Jesus, I desperately want to be able to stop this behavior because it's just been wrecking me. It's been holding me back for so long. And maybe I might not be ready, but I'm willing to have somebody come alongside me. Jesus, I need your help.
Yeah.
Take that pen that you have and be able to write on that. I am. I'm ready to change. I'm ready to be able to start telling the story that God wants me to tell. And I realize that the decisions that I make today, right here, will determine the story I tell tomorrow. Can I ask everybody here to go ahead and close your eyes? Because I just want to pray for you. I know that this is something that's pretty heavy. I know this is a message that is sitting there challenging you in a big way. But I want you to know that God's grace is here for you. To not condemn you and not just leave you in the junk that you're in. But to give you the love you out of it, to challenge you to stop. Give it all to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. Give all of your hurts, your hang-ups, your habits. Give them to Jesus today. I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to ask that everybody close their eyes, because I know that this is something that can be challenging. It's something that can be maybe a little bit embarrassing for you. But I want you to know, we're not to judge, we're not here to condemn, not to look at you any differently. I just want to pray for you. I desperately want to pray for you. Begin to tell the story that God wants you to tell. And so if you're here today, you need to say, you know what, I am in that place right now. I've got some external things that I need to work on. Maybe more importantly, I've got a bunch of internal things that I need to work on. I want to pray for you right now. And if that's you, just say, you know what, I could really use your prayer. I just want you to be able to slip your hand up right now. Nobody else is looking around. I just want you to be able to slip it up, because I just want to be able to pray for you. his hands are going up all over the place. It's okay, once you put that up, you can put it back down. I want you to know that Jesus' love is real. His power is real. His might is real. And with God, all things are possible. Dear Jesus, we come before you right now. And I want to pray for all of the hands that were raised in this room in an acknowledgement that they need you, and an acknowledgement that there's stuff inside of their life that is keeping them from telling the story that you want to tell. And Jesus, I pray right now for a changed life. I pray for a changed lifestyle. I pray for a changed mentality. God, I pray for freedom to happen. Lord, we know that so often it's a process to get us away from some of these things. But God, I also believe in a miracle. And I pray for a miracle to happen in some lives right now. Amen. I pray for a renewing of the mind to happen instantaneously, yes. Lord Jesus.
Yes.
So that they can come before you as a humble servant, ready to tell the story that you want to be able to tell. But God, I also pray for our church to be able to come alongside individuals. Be able to help them change their story. Tell the story that you want to be able to tell. Maybe you're sitting in here today and you realize that the first step that you need to be able to take is to be able to say, Jesus, I need you in my life. Hand already going up. Yes. Say, yes, I need Jesus in my life. I can't tell the story without him. I need him in my heart. He hasn't been, and you're saying, yes, Jesus, I need you in my life right now. If there's anybody else. God, we just come before you, and I just want to pray. The individual who raised their hand. Jesus, I just pray right now that your love will manifest itself in a very real and tangible way. So they understand that you love them, that you care for them, that you will never leave them or forsake them, that you are going to be with them from today to eternity. God, we give you this day. We give you our hearts and our lives. And God, I pray that this message will sink in today, but I also pray that this message will carry through and that we can make the decision to stop Monday through Saturday and not just today. Lord, we give you our lives and everything about it. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Isn't he good, church? Come on, man. Guys, you guys all feel beat up. Oh, my goodness. Man, God is good. God is doing some amazing things. And like I said, I believe that that is a grace-filled, love-filled message. Go out here and realize that God loves you enough to want to help you become better. John 3:30 says this. It says that I become less, and he becomes more.
Amen.
Inside of my life. That's what we're going to be able to do Monday through Saturday. Allow God to be able to continue to speak to us. Man, what we're going to do right now in the service is we're going to be able to transition. I'm going to be transitioning out, going outside and hanging out there. And if you are new or newer to the church, I would love a chance to meet you, greet you, tell you how awesome it is to have you here. I'll tell you a little bit more about our church. And if God really spoke to you today, he really challenged you with something, I would love to be able to hear it myself. But also, man, I want to encourage you again, talk to Pastor James. He knows that process. He knows what it takes to get to where you want to be able to get to. So I want to encourage you to be able to do that. As I'm transitioning out, you can see that Pastor Jonathan is right up here. Everybody give it up for Pastor Jonathan.